Welcome to Nestalgia. And this is the inaugural episode of Nestalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. Today's game, 10-yard fight. But first, we should talk about who we are.
Oh, no. You got it. I can't okay. Start this.
That's a perfect introduction to Sean. So I'm Mike Esposito. I'm a producer over at Nickelodeon, but I've loved Nintendo probably since I was about 4 years old when we got a Nintendo 64, so that outdates me and clearly indicates that we are by no means NES experts. Instead, we are people who are really interested in video games in general and wanted to explore the NES in order of release.
I'm Joe Castu, and I'm an aspiring writer, and Mike was pretty dead on with what I am, too, as far as my video game experience. I grew up with my Nintendo, but I'm not an NES expert.
What's up? I'm Sam Smith. No relation to the artist. And I'm a PA at Nickelodeon. I grew up with an N64 for a while before I got anything else, and so I kind of, got a lot of nostalgia with that. Never played NES before, really before this, so this is going to be a good time.
And I'm Sean. You do not get to know where I work. I started everything with the Super Nintendo, then I kind of abandoned Nintendo for a while. I stuck with PlayStation, Xbox, all that fun stuff, until recently, so I'm looking forward to playing most of these NES games for the first time.
Yeah, so this podcast is really a far cry from a historical analysis of the NES. What we're trying to do here is look at the games in modern view and see if they still hold up. This is something that I think a lot of people wonder when they look at the NES, the Super Nintendo, they play these games and they wonder, like, are these games still worth playing? And I think that's what we're here to answer. Just kind of getting into the NES launch for a second. The NES launched in 1985, October of 1985, and it comes at a very interesting time because that was pretty much right after the crash of video games in 1983, and pretty much everybody had abandoned the home console market. Arcades were still somewhat a thing, the Japanese market remained unaffected, and computer gaming was still a thing, so it wasn't like gaming was dead. I think a lot of people think the crash of 83 means no one thought about video games. I don't think that's the truth. I think what really happened is the home consumer market was just, no, I saw what happened with the Atari 2600, I don't want to do that again. Nintendo released the NES in 83 in Japan, and they were seeing good success with it and wanted to move into the American market. And I think what's interesting about this specifically is the jump between what you were seeing in the Atari 2600 and what that console was possible to do, and then the jump all the way up to 8-bit hardware with the NES, where you're actually seeing things other than blocks, triangles, like, you know, shapes and figures, and you're actually able to play, like, full-scale games. But we're not quite there yet. We're talking about the NES launch games, and that's a little different because these games were mostly arcade ports or games developed directly by Nintendo to complement the release of the system and its features. Things like ROB, the NES Zapper, Super Mario Brothers, even ports of games, their more famous games like Donkey Kong, didn't come till later. So the NES launch kind of still comes awkwardly to the North American population because the introduction to Nintendo was mostly with Donkey Kong eating all your quarters, and all of these launch games aren't necessarily things that you associate with Nintendo. Let's jump right into our first game, the game that this episode is all about, 10-Yard Fight. I don't think it really needs any introduction. It's a football game that is pretty bare bones, but let's get some initial impressions. Sean?
Well, it's not Madden. It's definitely football. I enjoyed it from the get-go, to be honest. It was very frustrating, but I'd say my initial impression was positive.
Sam?
Yeah, initial impression, it's like, it's cute, you know, got little guys that they run, and they make a noise every time they take a step, which is kind of funny. It did feel, it felt like it really had no place being a one-player game, I thought, which I feel like we might talk about in a bit, but just off the bat, it just felt very basic, and which is kind of what I was expecting going into NES games, but this was just very basic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joe?
So yeah, my initial impression was also positive, but it's not the kind of game that's generally my type of game. I'm not a big sports game kind of guy. I'm always a little skewed at the beginning when I start playing a game because I'm always so interested in like how they made it work with the limitations and how, you know, so it was, I thought it was well done at first. We'll just say that for now.
And I think my initial impression was, why are they running like that? Like, what is that formation? You know, like,
oh, the
you
box?
Look, yeah, you look yeah, at it and it's like, they're, you know, like, is that the perfect kickoff formation? Like,
yeah, the perfect kickoff like formation games. Is the entire team, you know, surrounding
just
the receiver.
Make a giant O and everybody make sure
why,
the receiver doesn't
I don't
doesn't
know why anyone
touched.
Doesn't think of that. Tell that to everyone.
All right, so let's just kind of get into it. I personally feel like the game is still playable. It has a lot of flaws in the terms of strategy.
Once you're given the ball, you are immediately sending a man into motion, which is an interesting little feature. And then that turns into your one receiver. You also have, like, your quarterback is just also your running back and your fullback, and the three of you line up and run in the same direction.
And if you try to, like, walk back a little bit, like, just to get away from people, all of a sudden you have to, like, kick off the, like, your pat, you know, you're punting all of a sudden. It's
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, oh, is that a thing?
If you took, like, three steps back, you know, like, yeah. Like, let's say one of the guys was chasing you, you take three steps back, all of a sudden you're punting the ball. It's like, no, I'm just trying to, like, set up a pass.
Wow. Now, yeah. That I didn't actually end up doing.
Very interesting.
I did that one time, and it wasn't until right now that I realized why that happened. I was like, what's going on?
You just take three steps back, and that's it. But I just want to see if this happened to anybody else. Did anybody else have a computer that threw a very forward-looking pass and then proceeded to throw another forward pass?
On almost every play.
No. Okay, so here's the thing. So this is a 1983 game. When you think about a football game, whether you're watching it or you're playing it.
Oh, real fast. Sean did not miss there either. This is a 1983 game. It just came to America in 1985. So.
Yes. So this is a 1983 game. When you think of when you're watching a football game, you think of these lines on the football field that are just imposed in like the director's room or just the box where they're where the director is switching the cameras. That was not a thing until 1998. So you don't actually know where the line of scrimmage is except for like it's that specific pixel. So I think when you're thinking of these forward passes that are then immediately thrown to another forward pass, this is actually a lateral, which you see all the time. Actually, right. At the time of this recording, AFC and the NFC Championship games were played. We saw three flea flickers, which is basically what you're talking about.
Okay.
Where you flick it to another back, and then he throws it again. This is something that is legal in football. So I was actually very interested to see that in the game.
I am glad for the clarification, too, because I felt like an idiot when I couldn't then pull this off. I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, wait, so he just did the forward pass twice. Why can't I? I was passing and then waiting to pass again. And it felt like, you know, the computer was just had that one little strategy ahead of me, but I might have to go back and try that.
Yeah, I think it's really the only way to complete a pass in that game because apparently there is no Z-axis. Like,
yeah, that bugged me the most, I think, in this game was that when you're throwing the ball to your receiver, even though it's football and you throw over people to play football, if there's anyone in the way of the ball, they intercept it.
Yeah, even if they're right in front of you, like as if you're throwing like a line drive.
Yeah,
like,
so you have to make sure that your receiver, so you just basically wait until your receiver is on one side, like all the way on one side or all the way on the other, and you just pick the side with less defenders, and that's kind of how you play.
I think, like, when I started off playing the high school team, I'm sure we all did, and I think I played the first half of that match, it was just figuring out how to play this game, like so many interceptions, so many, you know, like I just couldn't figure out. And I think the second half was even less fun because then I figured out, oh, okay, so just pass it immediately and run to the side as fast, you know, like as diagonally as you can, gain like four or five yards, do that again, first down, and just keep going the whole way. It's like that's really, for me, that was the optimal strategy.
When I played the high school game, my strategy was just run the ball every play.
Like, oh, so you were running every play,
and it worked better for me than
I mostly ran
the ball. Like,
I would usually lateral it to my back so that like there was another like gap that I could run through. But there was also this weird like rubber banding thing that as soon as you got like a certain distance away from the defender,
you just became sluggish.
You were slow, and they would just gallop right up on you.
Yeah, very strange how that would work. And what about those dive animations?
I think the dive. I don't know. I feel like me versing the computer, dives suck. Because, like, the computer gets the perfect dive, and you're diving all over the place, and sometimes you dive, like, 20 yards.
Good thing there's no Z-axis in this game, because if you saw that dive, this person is, like, literally, like, they're just jumping, like, 30 feet in the air, and then, like, flying over
you. But you also can't, the game can't keep track of where you are going forward. So, like, if you dive sideways and the ball's being run forward, your character diving will also just move forward. Like, it stays in the middle of the screen to move forward.
Yeah, and pretty much missing a dive in this game is the equivalent of losing, like, 30. Yeah. It's like, it will take forever for you to catch them again and get that opportunity.
I do think, I didn't play two-player with someone else. I've just played versus a computer. I think with people, it would be a different story, because I think the diving would be kind of fun, because it's kind of like that fun of these controls are really clunky, but they're clunky for both of us. So it's like kind of fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely do understand that. And I think, Sean, you have something to say.
Yeah, I do think that the controls are clunky, but it's actually really impressive that they were able... That they were actually able to make all of this stuff possible with those two buttons.
Yeah, no, I just mean the dive.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, like, the whole game feels like an NES game.
I think important here is, like, what you said, that it's impressive that they were able to program an NES game to run a full football, pretty much. But the thing that really kills this game for me is there's no playbook. There's no stats, there's no challenges, there's nothing that nothing other than the concept of get the ball to your zone, you know, and score the touchdown or the field goal. Nothing about it otherwise is like anything that is reminiscent of football. Like, there's so much missing in this game.
I think that this is minimalist football. If you want to describe it as something, like, you can still create a play by just waiting until your man in motion is where you want him to be.
Is Pong the minimalist tennis?
I mean, I'm asking.
Yeah, so if Pong, so this is like, this is football. Now, I'm not saying this is as important. I'm saying this is football's Pong, in that sense of, like, how do I make a football game that still feels like football, but we don't have the ability.
I think that's a good way of describing it. Right.
I think, if anything, it's a good blueprint for other football games. You know, I don't know if there were many football games that came before this one. But
At this point, the football games that you're looking at, besides the ones on the computer, which actually did run some pretty detailed, like, you know, not in the sense of not gameplay. I'm talking about, like, you know, kind of the simulation style things. The football games before that, we're talking blocks on the Atari 2600 and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so this is a big step.
As far as that goes, I think it is a good blueprint just for games to come. I'll pose this as a question. Like, would something like Madden exist if this never existed? Would it be different, you think? Or do you think that this was influential?
I don't think that this was influential enough to direct Madden. I think that this game offers a lot in terms of, like, here's how you would play football on a video game console.
Yeah.
I don't think that it really offers anything in terms of, like, I mean, even just consider the gameplay. I played about six games, and I played from high school all the way up to the Super Bowl team, and the AI was not that much better in the Super Bowl. Like it didn't feel like any more of a challenge.
It's so simple.
Right, it's such a simple execution that it doesn't feel like there's a lot more to be learned here, other than, like, you know, the biggest thing when programming a football game is you got to make sure you can pass and run.
Well, that's also, it's also probably because it's coming from, it's an arcade game that got ported.
I think also there was only offense on the arcade version.
Playing defense in that game is frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
A couple of other things I wanted to talk about. Real funny. So I did mention that I played the Super Bowl team. When you beat the Super Bowl team, and just for some clarification here, when you beat the high school team, it says, congratulations, you're on your way to the Super Bowl, and so on and so forth. It says that forever. When you beat the Super Bowl team, I really wanted to know what was going to happen. Maybe there would be, like, some extra animations programmed or something like that. Instead, you get the black screen with the white text, congratulations, you're on your way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, wow. Next year.
I guess we really are destined to be on the Super Bowl again. But I couldn't believe that they were that lazy about it.
Yeah.
That you would go through the trouble of programming like a whole idea of like, oh, just keep playing until you get to the Super Bowl. Not that you can't just pick Super Bowl right from the start, but then to just like be like, just loop back to that screen. Not even like a you did it. Like if you did it would have been fine, right?
Yeah, you know, like I actually never won a game. My first game was against the high school team.
Yeah, me too.
It was a 14-14 tie.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to skip right to Super Bowl. And that ended up being a 7-0 loss.
But so. see, that's what I'm talking about, though. It wasn't...
It's not that different.
Yeah, it wasn't that different. The colors changed.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quick question, too. Did anybody ever... miss a field goal or see
no, that was a very goal. Easy
can it be missed?
The arrow just starts in the goal and it's like yeah,
well no actually that's yeah, not doesn't. That's not necessarily true because it depends on where you scored the touchdown. So if you score the touchdown on the far right side, you have to kick it. Not that this is clearly not the rules, but
and, I mean like it's not far off.
Okay,
like, there is a lot of like things that they were able to translate into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, all you have to do is, like, it starts straight ahead, and all you have to do is just move it to the right or to the left, and then it's an automatic field goal, because, again, there's no Z-axis.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, again, it's a very early game, but how do we feel about that lack of music and just, like, the three, maybe four sound effects that are programmed into this game?
That gets
pretty repetitive.
The only reason I'm a little happier, usually I love music in video games, but I'm happy that there wasn't too much music because I just feel like being an arcade game, it would not be very good NES music. And I do think there's a lot of good NES music out there.
But you don't think they could have added that in the NES version?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they probably could have put more work into
it. Even just on the start screen or something.
Yeah, especially since they did add, you know, more to the game putting it on the NES anyways, they probably could have put it on there. But I was just glad to not have an annoying soundtrack. I just thought such an early game would have like a very repetitive, very like
honestly if I heard music playing through the game I would complain about it because that's not how any kind of football is played.
That's true. I mean, that's true. Even if you look at Madden now, there's no music playing in the middle of the match. Mm-hmm. But, there, you know, Madden has a lot of other room for music, whether that's, like, you know, in those cool pregame show things that they do or in the menus and stuff like that. You know, I think, like, just some kind of something to populate this other than just, like, the...
Well, I mean, I could just go back to my original defense and just say minimalist football.
All right. And I'm glad that you're sticking with that.
I would like to say that I think that the way they at least present the leveling, like the different levels of like difficulty as high school or college or something like that, I do think that that was a cool touch.
I think that is an interesting way to describe it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because what else would you have done?
Just easy, medium, hard.
Right. And that's worse.
Yeah.
I think it is kind of fun that you have that. And did you notice that they each had their own symbols? I didn't see the other symbols, but I did notice that, like, in their touchdown fields, they would... What do you call that? The end zone?
The end zone.
Touchdown field.
We should cut that part out.
No, this is perfect. The end zone, you know, there's that. I think there was stars. Mm-hmm. There was... is there a Longhorn?
I don't know.
Okay.
Rocket or something? I forget.
Okay.
As far as it goes, it was, like, fairly intuitive. Like, I looked up the manual before I played this one.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
Looking at those manuals
I think it's really important for NES games. I think that you may not even need it. I think that, like, you know, you want to go this way, you press A, you throw the ball. Yeah.
There's only so much experimenting, right?
Yeah, but I think the way they set it up is, like, a very kind of just pretty intuitive for a video game. For people who, like, have no experience going into video games, which is, I guess, kind of like what this is.
Right, okay.
I think
that's something important to talk about is that the NES wasn't necessarily sold as just a console for kids. This was a family style thing where it's like, you know, dad and his son can play together, or like, you know, anybody can pick up and play this thing. It's only, you know, two buttons and a direction.
That's true, but I think a lot of the games that at least I think of when I think of the NES have such a level of abstraction because of it can't render as much as we're used to. Like what Sam's saying, that it's actually a surprise to me that it, that this game was as intuitive as it was. Yeah. I thought I was going to have to, because I started, I didn't read the manual. I haven't read any of the manuals.
That's fine.
I thought I was going to have to go and look one up. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it was pretty clear.
Yeah.
I didn't look up the manual for this one either, and it was pretty easy to catch on. But that, I mean, that also kind of feeds into why my initial impression changed, because my initial impression was positive, and I still think, I'm still impressed with the game, but in the end, I think it's so repetitive, especially because you can kind of find a strategy that works every time, and, you know, it was repetitive enough that I think it's not a game that I would really play over and over again.
All right, and so I think with that, let's bring it into our essential games list. All right, so as no one knows yet, because this is the first episode, we are building an essential games list for the NES. And this is probably the biggest mission of Nestalgia, is to make a Hall of Fame, if you will, but not in the sense of it was worthy back in its time. We're talking about you've got your PS4, you've got your PC, you're playing, you know, all the latest and greatest games, but then you hear about these NES games and you're like, huh, I wonder if I should check that out. Well, refer to this list, because we're going to be the, what we hope to be, the hardest entry to get in, kind of the gatekeepers of what are good NES games. Let's just kind of get into it. Basically, the way I think we should handle this is we're going to have a vote. And since there's four of us, I think at least two should say that this deserves to go into the essential games list. And, you know, whether you're for it or against it, I'd love to hear just kind of like a final statement. So, Sean.
All right, well, I've been pretty high on this game from the beginning of this conversation, but I mean, obviously this is not a classic game. This is a really cool experiment in terms of how can we put together all of the abstractions of football into a 8-bit game. And I think they succeeded, but it's nothing special. I'd say it's nothing special.
Okay.
Yeah, same. I agree. I think the only situation I can see where I would go out of my way to play this game would be if I had friends over and we were just, like, really bored and we had a couple minutes. And it was like, oh, we could play this kind of jank NES arcade game, you know?
And you just have that folder, like jank NES
games. Yeah, this goes in my jank folder.
Joe?
Kind of like what you and Sam were saying earlier is that, like, even though this probably didn't inform the modern Madden, I think it probably informed, I'm just speculating, but I'm probably informed later NES, SNES games like this, which are probably better, which makes me think that this is not really worth going back to play if there are better retro football games out there.
Right. And I think, like, for me, the takeaway is that it's a competent, it plays football. This thing is a football game. It definitely looks, feels, and emulates football. But there's no playbook. There's no stats. Can't even trade. Teams aren't really even a thing. I think that
are you gonna trade the one? The left tackle.
I want their running backs. They're faster. I think that, like, when it comes down to it, if you have the option to play Madden 18 or do they
or,
do that?
Or go back into the NFL 2K,
yeah, the 2K5, 2K5 is great. Yeah. That's when you could actually, like, design your house, I think. Yeah. You had, like, a sweat.
ESPN. Yeah. It was ESPN back.
Well, we'll talk about PS2 Talja when we get to that. But yeah, I just think that, like, if you have the choice to play those games, this is a far cry from what I would consider, like, a definitive football experience, let alone a definitive NES experience.
Yeah.
So I think with four nays, we are removing this from the essential games list.
And can I just say too that a lot of the things that I vote on, like, I'm gonna be tough on these games, but a lot of them I don't think are bad games. I just don't think that they're games that you need to play. But if you're interested in, like, how games developed and how they, you know, grew, like, I find these games really interesting, even when I don't necessarily think that they're on essential material.
That's a great point. I think what we're trying to do here is come up with that essential list, but I think if you're a listener who's interested in us talking about these games and you're not playing them, you should be. Like, yeah. I think when we talk about, like, for instance, our next game, baseball, I think go out and figure out a way to get a copy of that game and play it, because baseball, you know, we're going to be talking about it. It's not that much different than 10-yard fight in the respect of being a competent way of playing baseball. So I'd say get out there and get it. And that goes for any of these NES games. Play along. That's the fun and hopefully the hope of this podcast.
And that's all the time we have for this episode of Nestalgia. Join us next time for baseball. And be sure to play it yourself if you can. For more Nestalgia, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. And be sure to check out NestalgiaCast.com. That's NestalgiaCast.com. On the website, you'll find links to the show and show notes, as well as our other platforms such as Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you so much for your support of Nestalgia. We thank you for spending time with us. I'm Michael Esposito, and you can find me on Twitter at EspositoFilm, and I'll talk to you soon.
Just kind of like get comfy and go into the post show, okay?
I know it's night.
All right.
I don't know.
I like it.
Bye.
But Sean, you're kind of like our football guy.
I would say so. The fact that we couldn't find the word end zone was indicative.
What do you mean we?
I will never claim to be a football guy, but I will never not know the word end zone.
I think it was for me. I was just tripping up on what I wanted to say because I was thinking about the actual like the engraving thing that they do on the end zone. You know, like where they have like the names of the you know the field.
It surprised me actually because I guess you're not a football guy, but I always thought you were more of a football guy than I am because
I think I'm a sports guy.
He's a sports guy.
I like the concept of competition.
And I'm still doing my work trying to get him to be a full time Bills fan.
Right. And can I point out what you've written on our wall here?
Yes.
Sean has written the Buffalo Bills are the best football team and the only team in New York.
And
all capital letters.
Yes.
Well, that's just because that's what I write.
Actually, no. And Buffalo. The U looks lowercase.
That's a capital U.
Yeah, the U does look lowercase.
It's way smaller.
But it doesn't have the little hook thing. You got to be here to see that. But I will say it's
a capital U. It's kind of small.
You're right. Yeah.
The thing that actually boggles my mind, though, I didn't know this growing up, is that is true. The Buffalo Bills are the only team in New York.
It sounds like
you're trying to rile people up, but it's the truth. It's really strange, and it's like I just want to know, like, how does New Jersey feel about that? Like, do they not care that they're just being like walked on by these New York Giants?
As someone from New Jersey, it's like a secret pride thing. It's like, yeah. Here for you, the New York team, but you know we know where you are.
What do you think would happen if like one of those teams what if the Bills became the New Jersey Bills?
That'd be sick.
But they were based in Buffalo still, and the two New York teams are actually based in New
Jersey.
There'd
be riots in Buffalo.
Now you're just making stuff up.
They like, break even more tables.
Yeah, that's a thing, right, Sean? With the tables.
I'd like to say that. We aren't as animalistic as I think we're painted in social media, but yes, we do break a lot of folding tables. There's a lot of strange hijinks that isn't always G-rated. Are we trying to keep this G-rated or PG?
Yeah. I think, you know, if it warrants the curse, just for the listener, we might curse on this show, I think, only when it warrants it. I don't want people to just, like...
Of course. I just think it's content. It's like sexual content.
Yeah. You don't want to show off, like, hey, did you know I know these words? That's what I feel like sometimes when people curse.
Yeah.
So I think if you get a curse, you gotta feel it. You gotta commit.
Of course,
you know?
I'm just saying that I don't want to describe what a lot of Bills fans do because it's not really appropriate.
That might be a good call.
Oh my gosh. And I think like Super Bowl's coming up, and
at the time of this recording, the championship games were just played. It's going to be the goddamn New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I hope you all be the best fans. I'm sorry. Yeah,
the best fans.
The best fans.
The best fans between the both conferences are fighting it out. So I don't think anyone wants there to be a winner to this.
Have the Eagles ever won the Super Bowl?
No.
They are with the Bills and the Vikings.
So I don't know how you feel as a Bills fan, if you want to keep them winless or not. But I feel like you got to be rooting for the Eagles if you're not a Patriots fan.
I mean, there's a small piece of petty... like misery loves company in me that wants the Eagles to stay winless, and I think that the fact that the New England Patriots win so much, it would just be status quo. But no, I just want to see New England burn.
And they probably will during their riots when they win or lose.
You think New England will riot? This is just going to be another Sunday for them, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Boston when the Red Sox won and when the Patriots won. And they were like flipping cars and shit.
All right, well, yeah. I get the Red Sox because they thought they had a curse for a while. But the Patriots, which year were you there for the Super Bowl?
When was that? 2015?
Really?
In January?
They reacted that way?
Okay. I don't know. I remember. Yeah. It was
New England. They're very passionate about their sports, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry to anybody
maybe
that's
getting that wrong.
This.
Yeah, I remember when the Phillies, when the Red Sox won. Both red.
I could see where you would make that mistake.
Yeah, because the Phillies, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
All right, cool. Yeah, this is a post show if I've ever heard one. Definitely, you know. Anything you want to say about football real fast? Like,
go Bills.
There you go.
I got nothing.
All right.
Yeah, I think everything that needs to be said about football has already been said.
Yeah, let the bodies.
That's not true. I'm going to start my own podcast, Sean's Football Talk, at gmail.com.
Well, that's right. I didn't want to step on your email address podcast. So.
Let the bodies at the floor. And then you just have to sign into it.
can we leave that in, too?
Yeah. Sam, can you just sign into the podcast?
Yeah.
I think I saw Chris walking around.
Yeah, Chris is lurking.